Yes, yes.
Good morning. I guess we're ready
good,
for the
Good morning scene. And welcome this morning on the first Sunday of July, but the start of the 251st year of America. So as we rejoice this morning with our songs, Virginia is offered. I know Austin did too, so thank you, Austin. But Virginia is going to lead us in our hymn sing this morning. So if you could let me know a number for a hymn you would like to have us sing. Alita? Okay, 525 verses 1 and 3. Selection. Yes. 92 verses 1 and 3. Okay. 92
verses 1 and
3.
3.
Virginia, do you have a selection?
How about 249, first and last.
Okay, 249, first and last.
Okay.
Yes. Trudy.
380, 1 and 5.
Deb. 89, 1 and 4. Thank you, Virginia, very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As always, thank you, Colleen. That was beautiful. Welcome this morning to the United Methodist Church here in Yucaipa, the House of Faith. I appreciate everyone coming today. I know it's been a busy weekend for many, but to come together as we start our 251st year as a country, I think that says a lot. So good morning to all of you and welcome. Please know there's a new sign-in system in the... Okay, I'm not seeing it on the screen. Do I not have it on? The screen is much easier to read than the little book I have. And 250 years ago, they didn't have all this, so there we go. Okay. And 250 years ago, I wouldn't have had these glasses either, so okay. New sign-in and prayer request cards are in the pew, and there's a basket, so if you would please fill that in and let us know that you're here this morning. Thank you for joining us today for worship. After service, please join us in the fellowship hall. It's across the breezeway for conversation and refreshments. The newsletter is back in the narthex, so please make sure that you pick one up unless you get that through an email. It can also be sent to you, so if you have questions on that, please contact the office for whatever is best for you. And July birthdays, and we are saluting Alita, David, Tracy Brown, Linda, Perry Way, Ruthie Martin Moore, and Young here this morning. And so we wish you over the course of the month a wonderful month of birthdays. On this Wednesday, July 8th, Pastor's Luncheon will be at Legends China 8 in Kalamasa. The cost is $15. Please sign up in the script table in the fellowship hall or call the church office. And you can see that it's quite a group, and it looks like they've got a lot of good food to eat. Yes.
Well, I have just decided that I'm going to have a anniversary, 250-year anniversary sale for the Pastor's Luncheon. How about that? So it'll be $10 instead of $15. Okay? So please come. And if you don't have money, don't worry. Just show up. It'll be paid. It's this Wednesday.
Thank you, Pastor.
Isn't that nice?
The Good Samaritan Fund, please give money or Seder scripts to the Good Samaritan Fund, and it's used to help those that are identified for less fortunate with food. Don't let going on vacation stop your tithing. Our church still has expenses over the summer months, so please give faithfully. If you will stand as you are able and join me in the call to worship. Come and heal this nation, O God Almighty, with your justice and righteousness.
Come and heal your people, O God of grace, with your mercy and love.
May this nation embrace peace and stability under your dominion.
May your people be restored to the faith of the founding fathers.
And if you would please join us in the Battle Hymn of the Republic, verses 1 through
3. Yeah, ready, folks.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the ventures where the graves of rest are stored. He has loosed the faithful fighting of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. I have seen him in the watcher funds on the hundred suckling camp. They have built him an altar in the evening dews, and then I can read his righteous sentence by the demon flaring lamp. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is shifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, we strip my soul to answer him, be jeweled on my feet. God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
Now is the time to pass the peace.
Already. Is Mark, would you turn the microphone here on me? All right, thank you. All right, let's welcome all those faithful worshipers with us this morning on Zoom.
I have to go.
Glad to see you, Kenny. I missed you last week. I don't know where you are. Maybe you were down in Florida or somewhere.
He came on last week, didn't he?
Oh, really?
He was just a little late.
I thought. I didn't. But anyway, so glad to see you. And good morning to April and Bill. You two look so cute together in that picture. Very nice. Alrighty. And good morning to Chris. And was it because I mentioned the one on iPad? That person not here this morning, but welcome to all of you.
They might be in later.
Okay. And now it's time for our joys and concerns. And since I have this mic, I found out this morning that a longtime friend is apparently in the last stages of life. Longtime community member here in Yucaipa. So again, I don't have details, but if you could keep Diane and Ron Smith and their family in your prayers, it would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
My sister Judy called me as I was approaching the church, and she just shared she's discouraged. And she usually isn't that way, but it's because of her pulmonary hypertension, and she found out she's more limited in activities than she thought, and she asked for prayer. So her name is Judy.
Good morning. I don't know how many of you were here about a month ago when I asked for prayers for my brother because they had to put his wife in a care facility. She had dementia real bad. She was falling. They were afraid she was going to break a hip or something. So they put her in a facility about eight miles away. And it got so that they couldn't take care of her, so she went into the hospital. A week ago this Friday, they put her on hospice. And he called me at the time he hadn't met with hospice. And I've had two experiences with hospice, and they were wonderful. I says, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I hope that you choose hospice. That was a week ago this Friday. She passed this Friday, a week. And I find this amazing because she was at the stage where she wasn't responsive or anything, but my brother told her that the daughters and granddaughters were flying out from two different places in the country. She stayed alive until they got there. And my brother is, they were high school sweethearts, got married right out of high school, and they've been together all these years. So, and on Wednesday, I go to get this thing looked at. I'm praying that they take it off, please. But, you know, they're going to do whatever they're going to do. Thank you.
Thanks, Ron. That's a beautiful testament to a life. I have a joy. My nephew and his family of five are flying out from Western New York, and I'm going to be scooting out right after service to pick them up from Palm Springs Airport. They're going to be here until Friday, so they're going to pack as much beach, Southern California, everything in as they can while they're here. But I'm really glad that they're coming. There's a 14-year-old girl and an 8-year-old girl and a 3-year-old girl that I haven't met in person yet, so I'm very excited for them to be there. I have another joy that the fireworks last night were awesome. Well, the ones on TV were pretty impressive, too. Paul watched those, but I just went and looked at Beaumont, had a fantastic display, and I just went out and looked at all the ones I could see from the house, because I don't like to drive anywhere on the 4th of July. It's crazy. Anyone?
I'm going to also ask for prayers for all those fighting the fires in Colorado. Things are pretty tough in a lot of different areas. So if you can keep all those under evacuation and all those that are feeling the effects of it. We know in Southern California what that looks like, but Colorado is really dry and it's burning all over the state. So if you could keep all of those individuals in your prayers, that'd be great.
Does anyone on Zoom have something?
If you could please join me in the unison prayer. Almighty God, you establish this nation on the foundation of faith in Jehovah, just as you planted Israel in the promised land of Canaan. Keep our hearts from forgetting you or straying from the path of your truth. Guard us from enemies within and without, so that our nation may flourish in righteousness and remain faithful to your will. Pour out upon us a fresh wave of spiritual awakening, as you have done in generations past. Revive our hearts, renew our churches, turn our people back to you. May this nation always acknowledge you as its Lord and place its hope in your unfailing grace. You are the God of this nation, now and forever. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let us go to the Lord together in our silent prayers. And we want to always lift up our nation, our churches, our people in our prayers without ceasing. And we have also been given many in our life circle. Let us remember them in our prayers as well. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this privilege to worship you freely, without hindrance, in this nation. Worshiping you with freedom is not found everywhere. Some places, they are still being persecuted, they are imprisoned, and they suffer even martyrdom today. We are so grateful for the spiritual heritage that we all have received from the ancestors of our faith. And we pray, O Lord, that we will continue to be the nation that you want us to be, that we will worship you as a nation, that we will follow your truth as a nation, that we will continue to be the beacon that you want us to be for the world, that the world may find your light through us. We pray, O Lord, that you will restore your churches here in our nation. Many have been suffering decline for many decades, and our heart aches. We have seen this particular church thrive once, filled with your people. But our church is not the only one that suffers the decline. And our heart aches seeing that. So, Lord, we just pray that you bring the revival back to your churches. So that, Lord, this nation and the churches in this nation will be the disciples sent out to all different parts of the world, preaching the gospel of Jesus, the message of salvation. So through our mission and ministries, the world may hear the saving message of Jesus Christ. We pray for our people as well, O Lord. People may have felt so comfortable in all the goodness of this life, the abundance of your blessing. But, O Lord, it's about time they came back to you and recognize that you are the one who gave them this good life in this promised land. So we pray that their heart may be returned, that they will come to you again and worship you as their God and their Savior. So we pray, O Lord, that we will continue to be the church and the believers that you want us to be, that we will share the love of Christ with all those that you have placed in our life, that we will testify the love that we have received from you so that they too may experience the same love from you as well. So we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day of celebration. You have been the God of this nation for the 250 years and more. And we pray that we will continue to thrive as your nation. So, Lord, as we celebrate the 250th anniversary, we pray for your blessings upon this nation, upon your churches, and upon your people, that we may continue to be the people of God for the world, that we may continue to be the beacon of hope and light to the world. So we recommit ourselves to you, O Lord, that we will continue to be your disciples in this world. For there are still so many who still need to be touched by your love, who still need to hear the message of salvation. Recognizing that you are the God of this nation, O Lord, we now join our prayers, praying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you would please join in our next sing, Lift Every Voice and Sing, 519, verses 1 through 3.
Lift up your voice and sing till earth and heaven ring. Ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high as a listening sky. Let it resound loud as the rolling sea. Sing a song full of the faith that the darkness has taught us. Sing a song full of the hope that has present has brought us. Facing the rising sun of a new day begun, on, let us march on till victory is won. Stony the road be trod, bitter the chastening rod, felt in the days when hope unborn had died. Yet with a steady beat, have not a weary feet come to the place for which our fathers sighed. We have come over a way that refused that have been waters. We have come treading a path through the blood of slaughter. Now from the gloomy past till now we stand at last where we once gleam of a bright star is cast. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou who has brought us thus far on the way, thou who has by thy mind led us into the light, keep us forever in the path, we pray. Bless our feet stray from the places of God where we met thee. Bless our heart drunk with the wine of the world, we forget thee. Shadow beneath thy hand, may we forever stand true to our God, true to our native land.
Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot and all the possessions that they had gathered and the persons with whom they acquired and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent. With Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, there he built another altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on by stages toward Negev. We now have some special music, America the Beautiful, Lloyd.
America, America, God God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful for heroes fruit in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved, and mercy more than life. America, America, may God thy gold sees beyond the years. Thine alabaster cities gleam, undimmed by human tears. America, America, God mend thine every flaw. Confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in love.
Thank you, Lloyd, for that wonderful song. Good morning to you all. So glad that you have come to join us, join me, worshiping together, thanking God for all the blessings that God has bestowed upon this nation and upon each of us all this time. I have found some jokes from wikihow.com for American history jokes. See if you can answer any of these questions. What do American colonies and ants have in common? They all lived in colonies. Why did the early settlers build their homes near rivers? They like current event. How did Benjamin Franklin feel when he discovered electricity? Shocked. Yes. I did not know Benjamin Franklin discovered. There are many who discovered electricity, including Faraday, Tesla, and Edison. But Benjamin Franklin, like 50 years before Edison discovered electricity, he thought that in the lightning there was electricity. So he was one of them. All right, next. And I got some questions for Boston Tea Party. What kind of tea did the American colonists really want?
Liberty.
That's right, liberty. You guys are smart. Why did the American colonists dump tea into the harbor? Because they wanted to throw a terrific party. What did the colonists wear to the Boston Tea Party? This one is easy. What did they wear to the party? T-shirts. Can't you guess? Where was the Declaration of Independence signed? At the bottom. Of course, in Philadelphia, too. what was the most popular dance move in 1776? Popular dance move. Independence. Why did George Washington have so much trouble sleeping? Because he couldn't lie. Why did the pioneers cross the country in covered wagons? Because they didn't want to wait 40 years for a train. Who can jump higher than the Statue of Liberty? Anyone can. Statues can't jump. Did you hear the one about the Liberty Bell? Yeah, it cracked me up too. Why is it so impossible to have a completely classified conversation in the White House? Because the walls have ears and the ears have microphones. Before and after this nation's founding, countless stories emerge, especially those of immigrants and believers in God. Although some argue that America wasn't founded as a Christian nation, the nation's large Christian population, beginning with many who came for religious freedom and many of the founding fathers who were devout Christians, suggests otherwise. Google data shows that over 90% of U.S. adults identify as Christian from the 1940s to the early 1970s, with more than 95% in the 1950s. Since then, the percentage has declined significantly. Pew Research report that 62% of U.S. adults identify as Christians in 2023 and 2024. As we celebrate 250 years, it is important to reflect on our history, our current spiritual state, and how to preserve our spiritual heritage. Let's consider God's calling of Abraham, which paralleled this nation's founding and destiny. Abraham was born in Ur and lived there until he and his father later moved to Haran. Ur was a flourishing city-state in southern Mesopotamia, present-day Iraq. I may explore Mesopotamia further later, but for now, a brief overview. So the first slide, please, Laurie. This is the map of Iraq today, and you see that Fertile Crescent, and then there's the Euphrates River and Tigris River, and that's where Ur is, right above Persian Gulf, right? You see that Ur is located right after the Euphrates and Tigris River met together. You know what that means? It meant that the Ur had a lot of water there, more than any other places upstream. Okay? Ancient Mesopotamia is often called the cradle of civilization. There, the Sumerians built the world's first cities, invented the wheel, and developed a written language called cuneiform. What helped the area flourish? The Tigris and Euphrates rivers supplied abundant water, supporting agriculture and settlement. Genesis chapter 2 mentions four rivers flowing from Eden: Pishon, Gihon, Tigris, and Euphrates. Scholars believe that the Garden of Eden was located somewhere in Iraq. This reliable water supply enabled people to settle permanently, establish urban societies, and build a sophisticated civilization. So the war, the location of it, they had a more water supply, we can imagine. In ancient farming societies, water almost always determined wealth or poverty, which explains why Ur grew into a major Sumerian city in Mesopotamia. How advanced was Ur? Let's go to the second slide. A clear indicator is the ziggurat, that's called the ziggurat, tall structure, which still exists today. Next one, please. And this is an artist's rendering of what the city might have looked like, created by an unknown artist. The ziggurat was constructed by King Nammu around 2200 BC and dedicated to Nanna, the moon god and patron deity of Ur. Let's go to the next. You know what this one is? This one is a painting by Peter Bruegel the Elder in 1563. It depicts the Tower of Babel. Okay? And because of its height, some believe that the Tower of Babel was actually the ziggurat. According to the book of Genesis, the biblical date for the Tower of Babel ranges between 2400 and 2200 BC, aligning with a period when the ziggurat was built. Genesis states that the tower was built in the land of Sinar. That's what the Genesis said, and then Sinar is known to be the Mesopotamia. So people get mixed up with the ziggurat was the Tower of Babel. But in my opinion, the Tower of Babel and the ziggurat were not the same and were not the same event. And there's one more picture to show. See, that is a clay tablet. See all these letters? It's called the cuneiform. It's called the cuneiform because the cuneiform in Latin means wedge. They wrote these letters by pushing wedge into the clay. The Epic of Gilgamesh, you might have heard of it, was composed in cuneiform. The epic includes the flood story akin to Noah's, but the narrative is less organized and not identical to the Noah's story, supporting the ideas that the Noah's flood is more authentic. Anyway, the presence of the epic suggests that the civilization was highly advanced. So you can forget about, now you can turn that up. You can forget about all that I have shared, but the whole point is, around 2000 BC, when Abram was born, Ur was a thriving city. It had abundant produce, advanced infrastructure, and bustling commerce. Life in Ur was prosperous, and its residents likely believed their moon god was responsible for their good fortune. Abram spent much of his life there. We don't know Abram's exact age when, at the end of Genesis 11, Terah, Abram's father, Abraham, Sarah, and Lot left Ur for Canaan. I estimate Abram was about 70 when they settled in Haran in northwestern Mesopotamia. After Terah's death in Haran, when Abram turned 75, God called him to go to Canaan. What would an average person do in that kind of situation? They have three choices: return to Ur, stay in Haran, or venture into an unfamiliar land to start anew. The most favorable option would be to return to Ur, for life was good there, and going to Canaan was the least favorable. But Abram trusted in God and chose to go to the unknown land, ultimately becoming the progenitor, the founder of Israel. From this viewpoint, immigrants to America made a comparable decision. Staying in their home base and building a life there was more comfortable than traveling over 3,000 miles across the vast ocean to a foreign and unfamiliar land. A journey took 6 to 8 weeks, depending on the wind, and starting from scratch. The trip was perilous, and due to storms, pirates, shipwrecks, illness, and malnutrition. Mortality during the voyage ranged from 5 to 20%. Many literally died en route. Why did they choose to come to America? Many were seeking better opportunities, while others valued the freedom to worship God more than anything else. At the time of America's founding, Europe was the world dominant superpower, entering the Industrial Revolution, which promised a more comfortable life than a new nation could offer. Mesopotamia could be compared with Europe and America with Canaan. Yet for those spiritual pioneers, freedom to keep faith in God was more vital than seeking comfort at home. Their actions to come to this new land stand as proof of their faith, much like Abraham's choice, which was rooted in his trust in God. Among those pioneers, there are many heroes of faith. But here's a notable example. Reverend Thomas Hooker. I was thinking about, I don't know, have you heard of Thomas Hooker? The first thought that came to my mind is that my last name is much better than that. Puritan leader John Winthrop famously described America as a city upon a hill in his 1630 sermon, inspiring colonists in Massachusetts Bay to foster a model community. This ideal was realized in a God-centered town founded by Thomas Hooker, who established Hartford, Connecticut. He was born in a small village in English village in 1586. Hooker earned his bachelor and master's degree from Cambridge University, a hub for Puritanism then. During his studies, he experienced a profound conversion. The Puritans emphasized personal salvation. Hooker's conversion predated John Wesley's by about 120 years. After graduation, he became a compelling preacher within the Church of England, but soon faced persecution from a particular bishop in London who prioritized church policies over scripture. He then moved to Holland, where he found a growing Puritan community. In 1633, he crossed the Atlantic to Boston, settling in Newtown, now Cambridge. His congregation aimed to relocate to Connecticut River Valley. According to the monergism.com, monergism is a very interesting word. If you are interested, you can look it up. It's about the faith doctrine that emphasizes on the role of the Holy Spirit in personal salvation. Thomas Aquinas and John Calvin believe in that. It's a very, very, to me, interesting, and it doesn't contradict the scripture. But anyway, This is what it says, and I quote, Thomas Hooker was the first minister of Center Church and led the original settlers from Newtown, that is Cambridge, Massachusetts. In 1638, he preached a sermon to the general court as they prepared to develop a vision that the foundation of authority is laid, firstly, in the free consent of the people. His vision was incorporated into the Fundamental Orders of Connecticut, which is known as the first written constitution in the world, and a model for the United States Constitution. And think about that. A pastor preached a sermon, and that became a constitution of a country. How about that? I might try that. The Thomas Hooker statue in downtown Hartford, located just outside the historic old State House, highlights this history. The statue holds the Bible, symbolizing Hooker's 1638 sermon. The base of the statue reads, "Leading his people through the wilderness, he founded Hartford in June 1638. On this side, he preached the sermon that inspired the Fundamental Orders, the first written constitution that created a government." Reverend Hooker's sermon not only laid the groundwork for Hartford and Connecticut, but also served as a foundation for America. I mean, as a Puritan, his point on the government was different from the ones that later was developed. The Puritans believe that they don't believe in the separation of the state and the church. So that's why the, you know, as a pastor, he preached something about the government, and that became the part of the Constitution, right? And now we talk about separation of the church state. So that discourages the people like us to participate in politics. But I'll tell you, I believe that the separation of the church and state was placed to protect the church, not the state. Think about that. Thomas Hooker's life offers insight into how America was founded on faith in God. I believe God called America to be a nation, just as he called Abraham. Our nation has received a divine mandate to be a beacon of faith in Jehovah, so that the world may know and worship the Creator. We are deeply thankful for many blessings God has given this nation over the past 250 years. However, let's prayerfully consider our current position. Are we still the city upon a hill that Thomas Hooker and the Puritans envisioned? Or have we strayed from that ideal, like the descendant of Abraham who first conquered Canaan but later fell away from their faith and worship idols? Last Sunday, we learned about the spiritual responsibility believers have. We are responsible for upholding our nation, our churches, and our people in our prayers, and for asking for God's intervention to help our nation return to God if we have drifted away from Him. I want to conclude with a prayer Billy Graham prayed on the National Day of Prayer on February 24, 2015. Our Father and our God, we praise you for your goodness to our nation, giving us blessings far beyond what we deserve. Yet we know all is not right with America. We deeply need a moral and spiritual renewal to help us meet the many problems we face. Convict us of sin. Help us to return to you in repentance and faith. Set our feet on the path of your righteousness and peace. We pray today for our nation's leaders. Give them the wisdom to know what is right and the courage to do it. You have said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. May this be a new era for America as we humble ourselves and acknowledge you alone as our Savior and Lord. This pray in your holy name. Amen. Let us now prepare ourselves to come to the table of God's mercy that Jesus has prepared for all of us. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ. Redeemed by his blood, by your Spirit make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. As we partake in the broken bread, let us remember the broken body of Christ Jesus on the cross for our salvation. As we partake together in drinking from this cup that Jesus himself prepared for the forgiveness of our sins, let us remember the love of Christ poured out unto us for each and every one of us, and be thankful.
Now's the time for the presentation of our tithes and offerings, and we have special music this morning by our chancel choir.
From whom all blessings flow, praise God, all creatures he belong. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ with power of lips. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, as we give you this offering of our praise and thanksgiving, we recognize all the goodness and mercy that you have filled our life. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. We recommit ourselves to continue to be your disciples that you want us to be in the world. So, Lord, receive this thanksgiving from us and bless it
and build your church continually, that we may preach the gospel, that we may continue to be the church that you have sent us to this world. So we thank you and praise you for all your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you will join us in the singing of God Bless America, there is an insert in your bulletin.
Sing it like it is, folks. Beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the ocean one before. God bless America, my home sweet. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the ocean white before. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Yes, praise the Lord. Let us pray. We celebrate our life in you, O Lord. We celebrate the national anniversary. We celebrate all your blessings that you have bestowed upon each and every one of us, upon this church, upon our communities, upon this nation. And we pray, O Lord, that we will continue to remain faithful to you in all our trials, all our blessings, that we may be the nation that you want us to be. So, Lord, continue to build our nation, form me on your truth, our churches on your Bible, and all your people in your faith. That's our prayer, O Lord Jesus. So bless us, bless the church and our nation, and send us forth in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Go now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day.
strong and true. Oh, he will guide you in all you do. Oh, now in love and sure you believe. Reach out to others so all the world can see. God will be there, watching from above. Oh, now in peace, in faith, and in love. Amen. Amen.
You can now hand them out. They can share with their neighbors. Thank you. Thank you.